in which he is praying to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. O Radha Krishna, my living force, O youthful couple, in life or death, I have nothing more than you. And he is praying in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to be engaged in the loving pastimes of Vrindavan. The highest conception of spiritual realization was brought to this earth by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not to become God, not to imitate God by obtaining great powers, but to be the servant of the servant of those great personalities whose life and soul is to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. In the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, the wonderful pastimes that are taking place are the supreme most exchanges of spiritual love, infinitely greater than any of the exchanges of this material world, even of the heavenly planets, and even of the planets of Vaikuntha, where Lakshmi and Narayan eternally reside. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to welcome everyone into that supreme abode of divine love, of Vrindavan. And he has given us the understanding and the process by which we are given the opportunity to purify our lives and follow in the footsteps of such great souls as Srila Narottam Das Thakur. In the land of Vrindavan, it is described in the Shastras and by those great Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. Radha Krishna's transcendental exchanges of love are directly assisted by the counterpart expansions of Radha and Krishna in the form of the Sakis and the Sakas. The Sakis, primarily the Ashtasakis, are directly the expansions of Srimati Radharani herself. She expands herself to enhance the degree of pleasure that she can give to Lord Sri Krishna. And all those of Vrindavan who enter into this wonderful Leela take part as the servant of the servant of the servant of these divine transcendental personalities. Today we are celebrating the appearance of the most confidential, the leader of all the Sakis, Lalita Saki, in a place very close to Barasana, is a village of the name Ungshagong. And in that most holy abode, Lalita Sakhi descended from the eternal world of Goloka Vrindavan to appear on this earth. She is the constant associate of Srimati Radhika Rani, and she also is accepted as the guru, the Siksha Guru of Radharani and all of those gopi assistants of Radharani. Her and Vishakha, as Narottam Das Thakur is praying, Lalita, Lalita Vishakha, he is praying to somehow assist in the wonderful service of these two great personalities. They are the constant companions within Radha Krishna's divine pastime. It is explained in the Shastras, the Bhakti Shastras, that it is Lalita Devi that teaches Srimati Radharani the intricate ways and means by which she can most present herself in a pleasing way to attract the heart of Lord Krishna. Sometimes she chastises out of love Srimati Radharani, because out of haste her sari is not properly arranged, or her hair is not properly braided. There is a beautiful story in the Garga Samhita which explains how one time Lalita and Vishakha, they came to Barasana and they came to the solitary place where Sri Radharani was sitting, and they began to narrate the wonderful qualities and attributes of Lord Sri Krishna. And this intensified and expanded the love of Sri Radharani. And she said, "Can you draw me a picture of this Krishna?" So Lalita Devi drew a picture of Krishna. And when Radharani saw it, she fainted in the ecstasy of love. And then, as she was in a trance, she had a dream where she was meeting Lord Krishna with his beautiful blackish form on the banks of the river Jamuna. And Lalita and Vishakha, they were calling Srimati Radharani to come out of her dream state. And when she came out, they took her by the hand to the window of her palace. And they said, "You see, walking through that narrow forest lane, there is Lord Shyam Sundar, along with his cowherd boyfriends, playing upon his flute, herding the cows." And when Srimati Radharani saw the beauty of Lord Sri Krishna, all of her limbs began to tremble in ecstatic love, the Mahabhav that only Srimati Radharani possesses. And she fainted to the ground. Meanwhile, when Lord Sri Krishna, his beautiful lotus eyes, saw the loving form of Sri Radharani, his heart was also captured. So Krishna proceeded on with his friends, and Lalita, she brought Sri Radharani back to external consciousness, and she began to instruct her. She said, Sri Radhikarani, this beautiful personality, Shyam Sundar, you can obtain his divine darshan by giving all of the love of your life exclusively to him. The greatest treasure of your heart will be obtained by making your every thought, your every word, an offering of love to him. And Sri Radharani, she explained to Lalita that if I do not obtain Lord Sri Krishna, that I will not be able to maintain my life. So hearing these words, Lalita Devi approached Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna, and she explained to him that Sri Radharani will not be able to survive and preserve her life unless you grant her your divine darshan, unless you personally give her your most charming association. And Krishna spoke, and he revealed sublime philosophical truths in very simple words. He said that you must understand, Lalita Sakhi, that whatever love Sri Radharani feels toward me, I am always feeling the same toward her. That she is my heart, just as I am her heart. And as she cannot live without me, I cannot live without her. And then he explains that you must know that Radha and Krishna are one. We are not separate. We are that one supreme personality of Godhead who have expanded into two forms to eternally enjoy the highest pleasures of spiritual love. And anyone who considers Sri Radharani to be different from myself will have to remain trying to enjoy the suffering conditions of this material world forever. You assure Srimati Radharani that we are one and the same. So Lalita Sakhi returned and explained that Krishna has told me that you are the one supreme person and you can never be separated, and that soon he will certainly fulfill all of your desires. So in this way, we find that the greatest spiritual personalities, their life and soul is simply to be assistants, servants of Radha and Krishna. And the result is that out of such love, Krishna and Srimati Radharani want to be the servant of their devotees. There is a story of how once Srimati Radharani invited Krishna to come to a particular mountain in Vrindavan. And then Lalita Sakhi arrived, and Radharani took Krishna's hand and placed it in Lalita Sakhi's hand. And then she began to chant the mantras for a marriage, playing the pastime of marrying Krishna to Lalita. In this way, the transcendental sweetness of Vrindavan is revealed. How out of gratitude for her servitors, Srimati Radharani wants them all to enjoy the treasure of her heart, Lord Sri Krishna. And of all of the servants of Lalita Sakhi, Rupa Manjari is the leader of all of them. Rupa Manjari is eternally a very young gopi, always absorbed under Lalita Sakhi's instruction in assisting in every possible way. This Leela of Radha and Krishna can only be understood properly by those who are completely free from all material attachments. It can only be realized by those who have received the supreme grace of the Lord coming through the devotees. But the same transcendental pastimes of Goloka, which were enacted on this earth 5,000 years ago in Nandagaon, Barasana, Ungshagaon, Govardhan, Kamyavan, Mahavan, Vrindavan, was revealed again in such a wonderful way that even the most fallen souls are given the chance to have access to entering into it. And this was the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna, it is explained, there is a story that during a dance with Srimati Radharani, she had left him and he was sitting under the Imli Tal tree. And while sitting under this sacred tree in separation, his body turned golden, like that of Srimati Radharani. And when Srimati Radharani appeared before him, she asked him, "What is this wonderful exhibition that I am seeing, that your beautiful blackish form has turned golden?" And he explained that, absorbed in thinking of you, I was beginning to taste a drop of that love that you experience for me. In the age of Kali Yuga, I will appear with your love as the treasure of my heart in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will appear with your complexion and with your sentiments of Mahabhava. So Radha and Krishna combined again into one form as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and appeared in Sri Mayapur Dham in the nine islands of Navadvip in the district of Nadia. And along with Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya appeared many of his most confidential and intimate associates. Lalita Sakhi appeared as Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami. Vishakha Sakhi appeared as Sri Ramananda Rai. And that leader amongst all the servants of the Lord, Sri Rup Manjari, appeared as Srila Rupa Goswami. But in this wonderful Leela of Lord Gaurasundar, all of the exalted realizations of Vrindavan were being given to anyone who would simply receive it. Radha Krishna's Leela, when magnanimity is added, becomes the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We find in the Gambhira of Jagannath Puri how, according to the particular mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sentiments of love in meeting and separation, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, Lalita and Vishakha, they would sing beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam or other divine scriptures just to increase the sentiments of Lord Chaitanya's love. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the exact same service that Lalita performed for Srimati Radharani in arranging her meeting with Krishna, Swarup Damodar performed for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami was born in Navadvip, and from childhood he was an intimate friend of Lord Gaurasundar. But after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and took sannyas, Swarup Damodar Goswami, whose name was then Purushottam Acharya, he became mad in ecstatic love, and he also accepted the sannyas order of life. And later he came to Jagannath Puri, and he was the constant associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, in order to properly understand this wonderful Leela of Lord Chaitanya, we must follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, who again appeared as the chief assistant for all living beings to come and engage in the loving service of Lord Gaurasundar. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains the science of Krishna consciousness in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He explains how, from the beginning most stages, wherein we have material conditionings and attachments, we can gradually purify ourselves and evolve to higher and higher and higher realms of pure consciousness. Preliminary to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami wrote the Upadeshamrita, which is a very, very essential book for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to read and to understand. because the Upadesamrita describes the basic fundamental principles by which we can become Krishna conscious. Vatsa Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. He explains first that we must learn how to control our senses, to control our mind, to control the tendencies of this, to speak, to eat, to control the tendencies of our sex urges, to control anger. These vegams, these pushings, as long as they are uncontrolled, there is no question of any understanding of real spirituality. The Sahajya class, who are very much condemned by the authorized Vaishnavas, they want to directly, immediately, consider themselves more advanced than all others because they study very, very high information about Braja Leela. But actually anyone can study those books, and anyone could memorize those books. Just like we have some devotees who go to medical college and they memorize so many, I've seen some of those books, so many of the various elements and diseases of this material body. And others take history, where they memorize so much of what has gone on in this world over the years, the centuries. Generally, history is centered around various wars and conflicts. So similarly, we can study the Leela of Vrindavan, very advanced scriptures, and we may be able to speak from them. But what realization do we have? It is all imagination. It is all imitation. Unless we purify our minds, purify our hearts, and purify our lives. But still, just to get an understanding of what it is we are ultimately striving for, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of. Some basic preliminary information of the beauty of Vrindavan is very important. But we must know that to approach that realm of consciousness, we must follow the guidelines of Srila Rupa Goswami. And it begins by controlling our mind and senses. And then Rupa Goswami explains the six greatest impediments for advancement in spiritual life. And he also explains the six most important factors that should be accepted for helping our spiritual life. Primarily, the association of devotees and avoidance of association of those who are not spiritual or Krishna conscious. I humbly urge all of you on this auspicious day to very, very carefully, again and again and again, study the Nectar of Instruction, which is the translation of Upadesamrita given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to establish a strong foundation to your spiritual life.
It is necessary. How, Rupa Goswami explains, we should control our mind and senses. Under the instruction of a spiritual master, in the association of sincere devotees, to engage all of our senses in Krishna's service. By coming to the temple to hear the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma, to see the beautiful form of the deity, and to worship the deity according to particular rules and regulations that are meant to discipline our lives. Disciple means discipline. In the spontaneous abode of Vrindavan, there's no such thing as discipline. All of the Brijabasis have attained such an ultimate state of consciousness that they are immersed in raga bhakti, prema bhakti, spontaneous love, where there are no rules, there are no regulations. Sometimes Lalita Sakhi chastises Krishna, and sometimes other gopis assisting her also join her side and chastise Krishna. But we cannot chastise Krishna. But we can be chastised by Krishna. Sometimes the gopas, they jump on Krishna. Sometimes they give Krishna food from their own plates to try. The cowherd boys, when they're sitting on bank of Jamuna, each of their mothers pack a certain lunch, and they all, with leaves, they sit and they start eating their lunch. And if one of the cowherd boys tastes something that's very delicious that his mother made, they want Krishna to try it. So they give Krishna their remnants from their plate. Try this, Krishna, this is very nice. And then Krishna tries it, and he says, oh, very, very good, thank you so much. And then Krishna distributes it to others, and in this way they play. There is no rules and regulations in Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, everyone lives according to rules and regulations, eternally. In Vaikuntha, when you enter into the gates, you are taught that this is Narayan, this is Lakshmi, this is their palace, this is how you serve them, this is how you bow down to them, this is how you pray to them, and eternally, in ecstatic love, you engage in those offerings. But in Vrindavan, when you come, they don't teach you how to bow down, they teach you how to chastise and how to wrestle and how to play. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. But Rupa Goswami has given us the ways and the means by which we can enter into that realm. And it begins, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, that you have to first learn how to discipline your mind and senses by engaging in the processes of Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service under rules and regulations. And gradually, our mind and senses become Krishnaized. Just like if you inherit a great treasure, often it is said that although it's yours by natural birthright, until you grow to a particular age of maturity, it's not actually given to you. That is similar to our situation. When we come to this line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Rupanugas, in the line of Rupa Goswami, we are actually connected to that intimate service of the Manjaris who are engaged in assisting Lalita Sakhi in the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. As soon as you sincerely come and take initiation into the Sampradaya, it becomes your right, your birthright. It becomes your connection. But that realization is not actually revealed to you or given to you until you come to age spiritually, until you are very mature. And that maturity means you have no more material desires, no more material aspirations, no more false ego at all. But you have surrendered your life to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Through worshiping the deity according to the proper process, through dressing and bathing and making every aspect of our life a proper way by which we cleanse ourselves inside and outside to make ourselves approachable and acceptable to engage in Krishna's service. And of course, Srila Rupa Goswami explained on behalf of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the most important factor to re-spiritualize our whole lives is to regularly and attentively chant the holy names.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Rupa Goswami he wrote many beautiful prayers . One set of prayers were to Lalita Sakhi where he explains that because you are most confidentially dearmost to Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna, you are her very guru. And you are her life and soul as she is your life and soul. That anyone who sincerely desires residence in Vrindavan in the service of Radha and Krishna, that you personally take them under your own divine mercy. And it is only by your mercy that we can enter into the transcendental realm of pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami is the access for the whole world into this mercy of Lalita Sakhi and ultimately Radha and Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami, in one prayer, he explained the consciousness by which all of his servants should live. There's a bird called a Chataka bird. And that Chataka bird will never accept any water that has touched the earth. Because that water that touches the earth has lost its real sweetness. The water that touches the earth is contaminated by the earth itself. Therefore, the Chataka bird is always looking up to the clouds. It will only accept the drop of water that comes directly from the cloud. And as looking toward the cloud, just waiting. Sometimes the cloud does not rain. And that bird, Chataka, just remains in a bitter state of great thirstiness. Although on the earth there are reservoirs and reservoirs of water and lakes and ponds and wells, the Chataka bird will never even look in the direction of the earth for any of that water. Even if weeks and months and years go by, she will not consider taking any water save and except from that cloud. In the same way, we must thirst for bhakti, for devotion to Krishna. And we must never, ever divert our attention away from that. We must keep our mind and our senses always focused in Krishna. And even if we are experiencing no spiritual pleasure now, even if our heart is like a drought, we must never look to the pleasures of this world, however plentiful and abundant they may be. We must never look that direction. We would rather starve to the point of death than to again take part in those activities which divert our attention away from Krishna. With faith, we will continue looking to Krishna. And sometimes as the Chataka bird is looking toward the cloud, instead of water, a thunderbolt comes to strike it. May hear the rumbling of thunder and lightning. But that Chataka bird still will not turn back. Let the lightning come. My Lord, Ashlisya Vapadaratam Panashtumam, Adarshana Maramahatam Kurotuva, Yathadatha Vidatu Lampato Matprananathas to Saheva Napara. If you like, my Lord, you can embrace me. You can give me that drop of sweet nectarine water. Or if you like, you can trample upon me. You can strike me on the head with a thunderbolt. Or if you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Like a drought where no water comes, unbearable. But Rupa Goswami taught that a Vaishnava must pray to be like this Chataka bird. Whatever Krishna may do, we will never turn our attention away from him. We will accept his mercy in whatever way it comes. And although the Chataka bird has a tiny little beak that can only hold one little drop of water, sometimes the cloud may just pour torrents and drown the little bird. But the Chataka bird will never turn its attention away from that cloud. In the same way, we must always, under all circumstances, keep our attention on Krishna. And we should be grateful to whatever way Krishna deals with us, according to his infinite wisdom. And we should never, never, never consider turning back to any life outside of a life of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And those who adopt this determination, in which Rupa Goswami instructs us, they are sure to attain the supreme goal of life, of prema bhakti. Following in the footsteps of those great devotees who are imparting the wisdom of Srila Rupa Goswami, we should confirm and reconfirm our vows to make the holy land of Vrindavan and devotional service to the servants of Vrindavan our life and our soul. We should be willing to die to live for Krishna consciousness. That is the price. And actually, it is such a small price. So please, come to this temple regularly. On the basis of Srila Prabhupada's illustrious books, which are most purely presenting Rupa Goswami's teachings to the whole world in so many languages, we could learn the actual and true science of bhakti, of devotional service. Accept no substitutes. Accept no imitations. Do not be illusioned by those who claim to give you something higher. According to all of the great scriptures, there is nothing higher. But it must be approached in such a way that it can be assimilated by our consciousness. We want to be purified, not putrefied. And that means we have to accept the basic fundamental principles of Krishna consciousness. And we must learn them carefully and gradually, by following them in our life, attract the mercy of Guru and attract the mercy of all the previous acharyas. And through their mercy, we can have connection to the infinite mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. In Srinivasacharya's prayers to the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami, the first principle which he enunciates is Krishna Utkirtana Ganana Tanaparo. That by their example, the six Goswamis taught us this most wonderful and important of all spiritual disciplines, the congregational chanting of the holy names. We must take very seriously that the purification of the mind and the heart begins through Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu in the association of devotees. And actually, simply by the performance of this Nam Sankirtan in the association of devotees, gradually all purification and all realizations are made available to us by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. And of all types of Krishna Kirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught, the most effective, the most powerful is the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Thank you very much.